오늘 우리에게 주시는 하나님의 말씀은 사도행전 18장 1절부터 4절까지입니다. 신약성경 219쪽입니다. 제가 봉독하겠습니다.
After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Amen.
As we have been reading for the fourth week, verses 2 and 3 of today's text describes Paul's first meeting with Aquila, the Aquila couple, as follows. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. The passage states that in Corinth, where Paul had come alone, he met the Aquila couple who had been expelled from Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire. And as Paul was a tent maker, as Aquila couple were, they were able to make a living by making and selling tents. Although this appears to be a very simple description of their meeting without any deep meaning, it is not so. Leading up to this meeting, there were various historical events, such as the destruction of the kingdom of Judah by the Babylonians, Persia's conquest of Babylonia, Persia's destruction by the Greeks, the Romans' domination of the Mediterranean region after its conquest of the Greeks, the rebuilding of Corinth by Caesar, the revival of the Isthmian Games after it had been discontinued for 100 years, the riots instigated by the Jews in Rome, and the expulsion of Jews by Claudius as a result, the hosting of the Isthmian Games by Corinth in AD 51. If all these events had not occurred, Paul would not have been able to meet the Aquila couple in Corinth, in which case God's work of salvation in Corinth would not have occurred. These historical events, covering many centuries, rapidly changed the landscape of the Middle East and the Mediterranean region, which were brought about by God's mysterious providence, which transcends time and space. All this occurred in order that Paul would meet the Aquila couple in Corinth. In that sense, Paul's meeting with the Aquila couple in itself is a result of God's miraculous grace and love. How greatly moved Paul must have been after experiencing such God's miraculous grace and love. In Romans 11:33, Paul confesses as follows, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out." God's miraculous grace and love, how could anyone in this world even imagine being able to understand the judgment and the ways of God who grants us His grace and love? Why did God specially bestow His miraculous grace and love on Paul and the Aquila couple? Was it to allow Paul and the Aquila couple to live prosperously regardless of the state of the world? No, that was not the reason. Paul testifies as follows in Romans 1, verse 14. I'm obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. Paul was not someone who dealt in money like a businessman. If so, then why did he say he was indebted to others? He was referring not to monetary debt, but his debt of love. Paul knew that the miraculous grace and love that God bestowed on him, even though he had been a rioter who trampled on the church, was not an end in itself, but had been made in order that Paul would become God's pathway of grace and love. That is why Paul felt obligated to deliver God's miraculous grace and love to whomever he met, Greeks and non-Greeks, and both to the wise and to the foolish. Paul traveled the vast regions of the Mediterranean world in order to deliver to the people the miraculous grace and love he had received from God. The Aquila couple was the same in that sense. Aquila, a tent maker, was the diaspora Jew. Aquila, who had been expelled from Rome after the rioting by the Jews, had moved to Corinth, located within the vast expanses of the Roman Empire, in order to take advantage of the hosting of the Isthmian Games by Corinth, scheduled to be held in April of AD 51. And it was in Corinth that he met Paul. We saw in detail last week how great of a miracle it was for the Aquila couple to meet Paul in Corinth. As with Paul, the delivery of God's miraculous grace and love to Aquila was not an end in itself. Verses 18 and 19. Paul stayed in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Centria because of a vow he had taken. They arrived in Ephesus. According to verse 11, Paul stayed in Corinth this time for a year and a half. In other words, the Aquila couple were spiritually touched by Paul for a period of a year and a half. And when Paul left Corinth after a year and a half, the Aquila couple accompanied him. That is to say, the Aquila couple gave up the business they had established in Corinth. After departing Corinth, Paul visited Ephesus on his way back to the place where he began his journey, Antioch of Syria. And as Paul departed from Ephesus, Paul had the Aquila couple continue to remain at Ephesus. This was not to develop a new market for tents in the big city of Ephesus. But it was in order that they may live as God's pathway of grace and love in Ephesus, which had not yet received the gospel. And the Aquila couple performed their calling very well. Verses 24 to 26. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, They invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus and testified about Jesus. However, although he had a thorough knowledge of the scriptures, his knowledge of Jesus was very limited. It was the Aquila couple who accurately explained the gospel to Apollos. Paul states the following in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, a letter he wrote in Ephesus during his third missionary journey, which he addressed to the believers in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. In the old text, Aquila's wife is referred to in this verse as Prisca instead of Priscilla. However, both Priscilla and Prisca refer to the same person. Priscilla was in fact Prisca's nickname. Paul stated that the church that meets in the Aquila couple's house sends its greetings to the believers in Corinth. Thus, the first church established in Corinth was a church that was started in the Aquila couple's house. The Aquila couple, by this time, were no longer simply tent makers. In other words, tent making was no longer their main purpose in life. Further, at around the time Paul was completing his third missionary journey, he testified as follows in Romans, the letter he wrote to the believers in Rome while he was in Corinth. Romans 16, verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Paul refers to Priscilla and Aquila as his fellow workers. This shows that the Aquila couple had joined the ranks of the great Apostle Paul. Also, the fact that Paul asked the believers in Rome to greet Priscilla and Aquila indicates that the Aquila couple had returned to Rome from where they had earlier been forced to leave. Paul explains why he requested that all believers in Rome in general greet his fellow workers, Priscilla and Aquila. Romans 16, verse 4. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. There were those in Corinth and also in Ephesus who wished to harm Paul. And every time Paul was in danger, Aquila and Priscilla willingly risked their lives to protect Paul. Romans 16, verse 5. Greet also the church that meets at their house. The reason why Aquila and Priscilla returned to Rome after the death of Claudius, who had ordered the Jews to be expelled from Rome, was not to re-establish their business as tent makers, but it was in order to offer their home to be used as well as in Ephesus, as a church in Rome. Although the Aquila couple may have appeared to have been the same tent makers of the past, in reality, they were forever changed people who now used their tent-making skills wherever they went, only as a means to spread God's grace and love by serving as God's pathway. That is why it is not at all strange to see their names referred to many times in the Bible as the fellow workers of Paul, who also served as God's pathway. There is an interesting fact which I must call your attention to relating to the Aquila couple. When Jews record names of people, it is always listed in accordance to some order. The names of people who were more senior in age or higher in position or importance always came before the others. What is surprising is that, as seen in Romans 16, verse 3, when Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned together in the scriptures, altogether in four places, Priscilla's name or her other name Prisca is placed before Aquila, whereas in only one instance is Aquila's name placed before Priscilla. This was very unusual. In the absolutely patriarchal society of the Jews, it was only obvious that the husband's name would be placed before the wife's name, which was the undeniable social custom of the times. Even today, in the democratic world we live in, is this not the custom accepted in almost all countries? However, 2,000 years ago in the scriptures, Priscilla's name was placed before Aquila's name. This indicates that Priscilla's faith was greater than the faith of her husband, Aquila. This means that Priscilla was the leader of the two in all their work, including their meeting with Paul and accompanying Paul to Ephesus, where they offered their house to be used as a church. Returning to Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire, where they also offered their house to be used as a church, and also risking their lives in order to protect Paul whenever Paul faced danger. In all these events, Priscilla was the leader of the two. This does not mean that Aquila was a terrible person. Aquila did not criticize or hold back Priscilla, who was spiritually ahead of him. When Priscilla lived a life as God's pathway, but in fact, actively helped his wife in every endeavor. This was possible because Aquila also understood that God's miraculous grace and love given to him was not the end in itself, and he lived a life as God's pathway. During the 10-week Mature Believers classes, I mentioned that it is all right to forget everything you learned during the classes as long as you live a life carrying one thing in your heart. And that is the life of Christ. It is said that if we were to express the life of a Christian with just one letter of the alphabet, it would have to be the capital letter X. The capital letter X is formed by intersecting two lines, with the lines above and below the intersecting point being exactly equal in length. If the length of the upper line and the lower line are not equal in length, then it is not a proper X. The intersecting point in X represents ourselves. If I truly love God, or if I have received God's grace and love, I then must love others in the same degree. In other words, we must not be the ending point of God's grace and love, but must be God's pathway that allows God's love and grace to flow. That is the life of X that we as Christians must all pursue. The first letter of the Greek word for Christ, Christos, is the letter chi, which in English is the capital letter X. This is the reason why Christians write the letter X to refer to Christ. What kind of being was Christ? Although he came to this world in human form, he carried with him, the Father God's love and grace. However, Jesus did not live as the ending point of God's grace and love by enjoying God's grace and love all to himself. In order to become the pathway of such grace and love, he sacrificed himself on the cross to pay for man's sin. He himself lived a life of X. Thus, we cannot become disciples of Christos unless we live the life of X. The spirit of the scriptures, the spirit of the Lord's Prayer, and the spirit of the Ten Commandments are all found in the life of X. The beginning, process, and purpose of the lives of Christians are all based on imitating Christ by living a life of X. The fact that Aquila and Priscilla lived as pathways of God's grace and love means that they lived a life of X. If that is so, from where must a Christian's life of X begin to be realized? Of course, without a doubt, it is from within the family. If we cannot serve as God's pathway through which we can channel God's grace and love to our family members who are nearest to us, then how can we live a life of X for others? Although Paul was an unmarried man, he loved his relatives so much that he stated in Romans 9, verse 3, that he would be willing to be cursed for the sake of his blood relatives. That is the kind of person Paul was, and that is why he was able to live a life of for all the people that he met. Aquila's family was chosen to serve as God's pathway because Aquila as husband and Priscilla as wife, each lived a life of for each other. If they had not lived in that way, in the old Jewish patriarchal society, Priscilla could not have led Aquila, nor could Aquila allow his wife Priscilla to go ahead of him. If Aquila and Priscilla had parents and children, would not they have also lived the life of X for them? On April 10th, during one of the new believers' classes, a video lecture entitled Christian Family Life was shown. In the lecture, there was material relating to the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. The word honor, translated from the Hebrew word kabad, means heavy. Thus, to honor your parents means to respect the weight of your parents' lives. To the extent of the difference in age between the parents and their children, there is a heaviness of life of the parents that the children cannot imitate. If one does not recognize such weight or deem such life to be light, your old parents can only become a burden. But if one respects the weight of the life lived by one's parents, the parents become precious teachers of life, whether or not they suffer from an illness. I received an email the day following the video lecture from a woman in her 50s. With her permission, I will read certain portions of her email. Yesterday, I experienced the miraculous providence of God. When I heard from you during the lecture that the word honor in Hebrew means heavy, I felt a deep tremor within me. Your words that we must honor our parents even if we cannot respect or love our parents. I could not respect my father. That is because he made life very difficult for my mother, and I, being emotionally very close to my mother, felt the same emotions of my mother. So even though I tended to him out of duty, I always felt guilty. I was in the midst of experiencing emotional turmoil as I began to hate my father as I participated in a counseling program. Then today, all of a sudden, my father, who almost never comes to see me, came to my house. He had recently bought a new mobile phone and came asking for help because KakaoTalk didn't work on his phone. For the first time in a long time, I had tea while engaging in conversation with my father. I had recently been thinking that it was time to resolve my issues with my father. My father turned 82 this year. During his visit, he talked about taking care of me when I was a child, about his days as a youth, and about my mother who had passed away. And during our conversation, he laughed innocently from time to time and also was moved to tears while talking about my mother. For some reason, I became to notice the back of his neck the layered and wrinkled neck that was sunken beneath the collar of his shirt, the old weak and drooping wrinkles. These wrinkles, I realized, were the kabod, that is, the heaviness. I could see that they were the weight of my father's 82 years of age. It is that tiredness, fragility, to the extent of seeming almost holy, that I realized I must honor him. I held back my tears as I had lunch with my father. I ate each grain of rice as if it were my tears. And then this is what I thought. Right. What can I demand of or ask forgiveness for from this old man who is over 80 years old? Let's forgive. No, let me first receive God's forgiveness. How can I now try to judge my father's life when he has already received forgiveness from God? How can I judge my father who cared for me, fed me, clothed me, and provided me with an education? Why was it only today that my father's phone experienced cut-off problems? Why did my father suddenly need to send a picture through his mobile phone? Why was I this morning during my daily meditation thinking about my father as I remember the theme kabod, honor, and heavy? I know that if not for this miraculous providence of God which made my father come to my house despite my insistence that I pay him a visit, I would not have been able to experience that special moment of healing with my father. As I adjusted the crumpled shirt collar that covered my father's wrinkled neck, I said, Father, let's live a life of laughter and love. And then I watched him from behind as he left by the escalator. I promised myself that the next time I saw him, I would say to him, we need to go to heaven together, Father. As I was taught during the New Believers class, I will try to love my father. If I try, would I not be able to really love my father? Reminding myself of the five reasons why we must honor our parents, I wish to thank God for teaching me this truth. Five reasons why you must honor your parents. First, parents who we can see are the agents of God who we cannot see. Second, we were given birth by our parents. Third, we were raised by our parents. Fourth, honor and understanding results in love. Even if you do not love your parents now, if you begin to respect the weight of your parents' lives, you will begin to understand your parents, which will lead to love. Fifth, you will reap what you sow. Those who honor their parents will also be honored by their children. A part of the pathway of this member as a Christian had been blocked because of her issue with her father. And now that she had resolved her issue with her birth father, she is prepared to be the pathway through which God's grace and love can flow. Because one of the channels of the pathway is blocked because of an issue with her father, could she be able to serve as a pathway through which God's love and grace could flow?
Aboji를 위해서
Now that this person is living a life of X with respect to her father, she can live a life of X toward the entire world. That is because God's pathway, the people who desire to live a life of X, will be with Christ, who will grant greater grace and love. Our family was not formed by mere chance. God worked miraculous deeds by transcending time and space in order to form each family. It is a miracle in itself that out of the many people living in this world, one man and one woman come together to form a family and give birth to a child, who in turn will grow up and meet a spouse to form another family. Is this not a miracle? If we believe that our family is the result of God's miraculous grace and love, we must, in Jesus Christ, become God's pathway to our family. We must begin living a life of X for our family. Only can such a person live a life of X like Paul for all people, whether Greeks or non-Greeks, and whether to the wise or to the foolish. Only can the family of such a person light up the world as a small church for this age, like the family of Aquila and Priscilla. And this is the reason why God, who created mankind, made sure that each person became born through a family and raised by a family. Let us pray. Allow us to be children of faith who know how to respect the weight of the lives of our parents who began life's journey ahead of us. Allow us to live a life of faith in our age so that the weight of our lives made through God's truth may serve as an example to our children. Let husband and wife live a life as one within Jesus Christ as a couple of faith. Let us not forget that a person who does not know how to love his or her own siblings cannot love his or her neighbors. By first becoming God's pathway to our loving families, let us live a life like Paul's, who loved all people, including Greeks and non-Greeks, and the wise and the foolish. By first living the life of X for our family, let our family, like the family of Aquila and Priscilla, become a small church that shines the light of life, love, and truth to the world. And with the growth of such families, may society become more and more healthy. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.